And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
And it's 25 to 5, which means it's time to say good afternoon, Luke Smith.
Good afternoon.
Indeed. Thanks for joining us once again. Today we're going to talk about why would you add money to your super instead of just putting it in your bank account?
Yeah. Look, for a bit of context, this one's important because I'm finding coming into 30 June, people are starting to think about tax planning and contributions. And I've had a number of questions this week. Well, I could hold it in my own name or I could put it here. Why would I actually commit the money to super? And I think as a starting point, the structure that you use in relation to your asset accumulation is really important because you're not just thinking about now, you're thinking about the journey, and then also you're thinking about some controls and some benefits at the end of your working life and at the end of your life in general. So thinking about super as a vehicle is far more important when you consider those long-term aspects as opposed to, well, if I put it in now, I can't get it, or I'm only putting it in for a tax deduction. Today, we're going to touch on some of the key things to keep in mind conceptually because it is a wonderfully, wonderfully tax-efficient vehicle, and using the right structure can give you a huge amount of flexibility. And the analogy I use regularly in this scenario is, what sort of car do you drive? And we know that a Mini's never going to pull a horse float. That doesn't mean we don't like Minis. So we need to think about super as an appropriate investment vehicle for a range of positive reasons. But you need to also then preface that by saying, how does it align with my why and is it right for me? Because it may or may not be, depending on your stage of life.
Obviously, adding money to super is something that has great tax benefits, but what if you think you might need the money again in the near future rather than being able to wait until retirement time? That's going to influence your decision, isn't it?
100%. So there's a great example in relation to longevity and duration. What are we trying to add and why are we trying to add it? The upside of putting a deductible contribution into super is you get some tax benefits. The downside is if you're 40, you can't get it for 20 years. So we need to moderate that thinking and keep it in perspective and say, okay, here's a wonderful vehicle that I can use both now and later. I'm going to use it at the moment for my primary objective of lowering my tax, but I'm also then thinking about the longer term benefits of investing in a very, very tax efficient market, because you can buy a house in a super fund. You can buy a house in your own name. You can put money into super and you get a tax deduction. You can buy an investment property and get a tax deduction in your own name. The earnings on an investment property, if you pay it off, are taxed in addition to wages. Earnings inside a super fund are taxed at a maximum of 15% along the journey. So we need to be thinking about the vehicle and the benefits of the vehicle and then the individual assets that we hold secondary for exactly that reason that you've raised. Is it appropriate for me? What do I need in my situation? And how can I then utilize this vehicle to my advantage, both now and later? Because if we leapt forward to pension phase, another big benefit of superannuation when you retire is that you pay no tax on the earnings if you start a pension. If you hold an investment property for exactly the same amount of time, you're still going to pay potentially income tax on the rent, depending on your overall income. But if you then sold that 10, 15 years after you bought it, you've got a capital gains tax consideration to keep in mind. If you held that same super fund, a same property, for example, share or any other asset in the super fund, started a pension and then sold it, a pension in retirement is free from capital gains tax. So I just want people to think not, oh, super, I can't get it, but more, could I use it as a vehicle as part of my longer term planning, considering the tax advantages that are available to you later in life? Because that's where you want to have, where possible, the majority of your wealth because of those structural benefits and that tax-free status on money to you, but also money inside the fund.
Now, if you are interested in, for example, holding an investment property inside your super fund, as you've suggested, that requires a little bit of planning ahead, doesn't it? Because you can't just take an investment property that you already own and just transfer it into the super fund without incurring all sorts of costs?
Well, exactly right. And that then comes back to specific pieces of legislation where you can't acquire a residential property from yourself because there are in-house asset rules, and if you breach them, then you can't acquire the asset. You could, in some situations, acquire other property like a commercial space because there are exemptions in the legislation to do that. So again, we need to start with why. Why am I buying it and what is it doing for me? And when you ponder that question of any asset, whether it's a share, a term deposit, an investment property, a commercial building, anything, that will very quickly help you articulate the value that you are looking for. And part of that value consideration will bring in factors like time, will bring in factors like tax, will bring in factors like capital gains and potentially liquidity. So whilst we're saying it's a very good vehicle for a range of reasons, it's not the only vehicle. And it's important that listeners sort of keep in mind that holding things in your own name is completely fine. You could use a family trust, you could use a company. There's lots of different ways you can hold an asset. But don't forget about the long-term value of superannuation when you align, why have I got it and what is it doing for me? And your answer might be, well, it's a long-term asset that I want to see go up. I might sell it in the future and I want to minimize the tax that I get from it over the journey. Why not consider holding it in super? So it's about thinking about super as a vehicle, not leaping to, oh, I can't get it for 20 years, well, I won't use it. There's a big difference.
Now, I don't know, I'm not an expert on these things, but would I be right to be concerned about any estate planning issues when it comes to whether I'm holding an asset inside super or holding it in my own name?
Yeah, look, exactly right. So one of the big advantages of superannuation is that you have the ability to make contributions right up to the age of 75 where you're not making, where you're not claiming a tax deduction. So a big myth is that, well, I've stopped working, I can't add money to super. Yes, you can. Now, there are certain limits that you must adhere to, both in total value as well as annual contribution. But as long as you're within those, you have the ability to put money into superannuation. Now, a big advantage of superannuation is that your will has no control over your super. So if you had an accumulated amount of money in super and you wanted to pass that to your spouse and not have it end up in your estate that could potentially be challenged, superannuation is a great vehicle to allow you to pass money through a binding nomination that sees the assets in the super fund paid directly to a spouse in this example, doesn't form part of the estate, never falls under the will, and can't be challenged. So not only is it a very tax-effective vehicle, from an estate perspective and a transition perspective, you can move assets between family members with greater control. But again, not perfect for everyone, so you'd need to consider why am I doing it and what are the advantages. Because for every advantage, there'll be a disadvantage. But as long as the advantages win, it's something that you can use going forwards with clarity around what happens at the end of your life to avoid huge amounts of tax. Because a spouse is always deemed a dependent under the super legislation and the tax legislation. If I hold an asset outside and I transfer that and my spouse is not a joint owner, then there can be capital gains tax implications. So thinking about disposal at the time of acquisition is really, really important because, as you said before, it's very hard to unravel or take the cordial out of the water, as somebody said to me this week, which I thought was a good one.
Yeah. So, take the cordial out of the water. I've never heard that before. That's a new one on
it's
me.
It's a good one.
It is good. Obviously, there are a lot of good reasons for putting assets into your super account because of the tax treatment, because it's the protected nature of it. Mm. What would be some reasons not to do it? Why would you keep your money in your bank account instead?
Well, one is liquidity and age. So again, while super is useful, you would sort of err against hurling huge amounts of money into superannuation at younger ages because of the longevity issue of getting hold of it. Two, you've then got the potential tax implications where, say, you don't have a spouse and you have non-dependent children. There are tax implications for assets coming out to them. Now, there probably would be if you held the asset in your own name. So you can't assume that money coming out of super is always paid tax-free, because it isn't. And we've spoke on a number of occasions around dealing with the taxable portion of super to non-dependent adult children. You'd also then think about potential change in legislation. You know, the government have done such a bang-up job of managing the superannuation space of late that, you know, I totally understand that members of the public go, well, they're the rules now. What could the rules be? Because they keep tinkering with thresholds and limits and other things. So, you know, legislative concern is a real concern over time, because things do change. So you need to be comfortable that that could be a detrimental aspect for you and your investment portfolio. So there are a number of reasons that it's good. There are also a number of considerations to keep in mind that it's not perfect. But when you look at things holistically and it aligns with why you're requiring something, I find in a lot of instances people leave it too late, thinking they can throw huge amounts of money into super at the end of their working life and become disenfranchised with it, and some other colourful language around, well, why didn't anyone tell me? This is why we're throwing this up. And if I could swap you don't know what you don't know for do a little something a little sooner, I would, because I think it's an indication of how things need to be prepared leading into retirement.
So briefly, what would you say are the pros and cons of putting it in super?
Yeah, so limited access, you know, depending on age. Investment menus for superannuation can change, so we spoke about that recently. You might like something and have and want to have a lot of it in your fund. Depending on the type of super fund that you use, there may be rules around how much of a good stock you can hold. Some retail and industry super funds say that you can't have more than 10% of one stock in total. Now, you might want to have all of your super in BHP, and that's fine, that's your right, but you need to make sure that you're in the right vehicle to do that. Check the costs. So you need to run a fund. If you hold an asset in your own name, it may be administratively cheaper to run, because a superannuation is a legal structure that has legal implications and requirements on an annual basis, like audits and tax returns and things of that nature. So they're not free. But also then consider the controls that you have, because you may not be the trustee of the fund. In a self-managed super fund environment, you are. But in an industry and a personal super fund, you're not. So you need to make sure that what you want to do is allowable under the rules of the fund that you're in.
Marvellous. Well, there's a few things to consider there, aren't there? Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio. It's about 12 minutes to 5. We'll be back with more in just a moment. It's about 8 minutes to 5 on 2CC. It's Canberra Live, and it's a Friday afternoon, which means that Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio. Today we're talking about why would you put money into your super instead of just putting it into your bank account. There's a few good reasons, aren't there, Luke?
Yeah, look, exactly right. And I think that's where, before the ad break, we spoke about the most important part of this choice is the context and where you are at in your working life. And where you are on your journey, because whilst it might be great for somebody, it may not be great for you, and vice versa. So we're not saying leap out and throw everything into super, far from it. But I think you need to look at your superannuation and consider the benefits and features, just like you would buying a car. Tradies generally drive utes, and they drive utes because they're generally lugging around a whole load of gear. Now, you've also got people that drive smaller cars because they find they're easier to park. So they're not going to go and buy a Silverado.
No.
Now, as I said at the start of the show, a Mini is generally not going to pull a horse float. So you buy a bigger vehicle that's fit for purpose. And that's how I want people to think about superannuation. Not, oh, I just can't get it for 20 years because I'm 40. But how does it fit my plans going forwards? What are the access limits and what's the time frame around getting hold of it? What are the benefits of putting it in? Am I claiming a tax deduction? Am I not? What's the tax implication of the money that I'm generating along my journey? If I'm at the top marginal tax rate and I'm receiving rent at 49 cents in the dollar, I'd much rather have the rent from a property or the dividends from an investment taxed at 15% for 20 years than I would at the top marginal tax rate. If I'm going to sell an asset in my own name and pay capital gains tax, would I prefer to hold it in superannuation because it's a long-term position and I know I can sell it in pension phase and pay no capital gains tax whatsoever? Or do I want to take an income stream out of superannuation that could be sourced from rent or dividends or term deposit earnings and pay no tax taking it out over 60? Or do I want to generate term deposits and shares and franking credits and rental income in my own name that could be accumulated and taxed depending on my overall income position? Now, whilst you say I'll retire and that won't matter because I'm going to do A, B, and C, I've seen plenty of people change their mind, get bored, go back to work, get offered a great job, have a contract, have a career change at 62, and now all of a sudden they're earning $100,000 plus all of their accumulated investments. So we need to be thinking longer term. And when you acquire something, whilst it sounds silly, consider what would happen at the time of disposal. Because whilst it may not be super that you use, it might be that you buy it in a family trust. You might buy it in joint names instead of one name. I often have people come in, sell an investment property and go, oh, well, all of the tax is mine now. Oh, that's terrible. Because an accountant said that they needed a tax deduction 15 years ago. And now you can't spread that capital gain across multiple people or at least a couple. So think about disposal. Don't just think about the implications at the time of purchase. Use bonding nominations to your advantage. Avoid capital gains tax in pension phase. Limit the income tax that you pay along the journey and get money in sooner rather than later if super is right for you, because there are legislated limits on how much you can throw in later in life, and that frustrates a lot of people because they're just not aware of the implications of doing so. So whilst it's not perfect, it can be a lot more advantageous than doing things in your own name. So just think about where you hold your assets.
Yeah, that last one is actually a bit of a trap for the unwary, isn't it? Leaving it too late and running into those limits on how much money you can put in there.
Yeah, and generally there it's exacerbated by, well, we need to sell down specific assets, but we don't want to sell them all at the same time because now we're getting too much assessable income and paying more capital gains tax. So what you thought was sell and throw in is actually a 2-3-4 year proposition to manage the tax on the assets, to lock in the returns that you've achieved, but also then be able to get them in under the limits so that you can have tax-free income in retirement. So people need to be doing a little something a little sooner.
A little something a little sooner. That's the new official motto, is it?
It's coming a close second at the moment because I'm finding it's getting used far more than you don't know what you don't know.
Indeed. Well, Luke, it's time to find out where can listeners get more information.
Yeah, office number 62604749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au. That's Envision with an E on the internet. We've got the podcast, The Strategy Stacker. Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got Envision Financial Canberra. You can subscribe to that on YouTube. We've got video of all of the shows. You can watch that on your tablet or your device. We've got YouTube Shorts. We've got The Strategy Stacker on the Tiki Talker. And all of these types of considerations are in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, in all good bookstores, Amazon and Booktopia.
Did you get some fresh copies into Harry Hartog where they ran out?
Well, he was in my office this week and I traded him a bottle of wine for it. We called it even. So, yeah, no, it worked out good. I haven't dropped any in there yet, so I think they'd better buy some.
Better hurry up. Fantastic stuff. Now, Luke, next Friday, of course, is Good Friday, so no program next Friday. And the following week, I'll be on holidays.
That's right.
So you'll be in the capable hands of Nicole Overall.
And we'll see you in a few weeks.
You'll be back in a couple of weeks.